want to do over here, what I would like to do over here is maybe go through, just read through some of the psukim, some background. So it's in. Yes, yeah, the Mizmah of Shushan Habira. And a lot, some of the Farshman actually they learn, a lot of the Farshman on the page, they learn that the whole Mizmor really reflects upon the story of Purim. It's the Nevuah in reference to the story of Purim. So let's maybe take, I'm going to read for you some Psukim as a Hakdama to this Mizmor. Okay, so here's the Shmuel Beis, Perikhes. Shmuel Beis, Perikhes. Okay, let's go over the story just a little bit. What happened over here? It's a very complicated story. And basically there are three versions of the story. Okay, there's the version of the story in Sefer Shmuel, the version of the story in Sefer in Divrei Hayamim, and the version of the story in Tehillim. What really happened? There are three different accounts. And every account provides a different insight. You know, it's like the Crusades, the first Crusade. Oh, Rabachol, Baruch Hashem, you back? Yeah. Baruch Hashem, how are you feeling? We miss you very much. It's very dry when you're not here. We don't have a...
We don't know our French.
We don't have a... It's like, when you're here, it's like meet the press. Sunday morning... Meet the depressed. Ooh, I like meet the depressed.
Wait, my email just went out this morning.
Okay, looking forward. So we're doing over here today Mizmar Samach, new Mizmar, Mizmar Samach, and Mizmar Samach begins with the words Lamatzecha L'shushan Edus Michtam L'David L'lameid. There are a lot of words there. What in the world is going on over here? Shushan, what is a shushan? A flower? A rose? Is it shushan? No, here it says Shushan.
It does?
It says Shushan.
That's weird.
It says there's a Mincha Shai that says make sure you say Shushan. It's not anything. It's a Shudok and a Patach. Shushan. And in fact, because of this, that's why in the Minchas Erev, the Minchas Erev says that this whole Mizmar is to be understood in reference to the story of Purim. Shushan Abira. Prophecy to Enochanami. So there's more. The more, the merrier. We have different angles, but almost everyone else on the page doesn't even hint to that. They say refers to a Shushan is a musical instrument.
So should we say Shushan as Yaakov?
Shushan as Yaakov. I never chopped that. And you taught me something new here. Shushan as Yaakov is a play on Shushan Abira. There, I never see all these years. I never have that connection. Very good. Okay, so we'll see. Before we even get to it, over here, the second pasuk says, "Behatzoy soy es adam naharaim v'es adam tzoyva v'yoshav yoyav v'yach es edoim." Whew! Begay melach, shneim also elaf. We have over here three nations: Aram naharaim, Aram tzoyva, and Edoim. What in the world is going on over here? And what is the word Behatzah? Behatzah means to incite. And where is this place called Gei Melech? And it says here that Yoav. So these.
Dangerous to say these days.
What do you mean?
Gay.
Oh, Gei Melech. Okay, Gei Melech. You know, I had a whole new insight. Part of this story over here, it talks about Edoim. I had a whole new insight. Yeah. It says Timcha Ezecher Amalek. Timcha Ezecher Amalek. So we learn over here that Yoav, it's either Zecher or Zecher, but it's not Zochor. Timcha as Zochor Amalek.
Oh, yeah.
Who made that mistake? Yoav. Yoav's not only Yoav. Yoav wanted to go back and kill his Rebbe. Yoav, this is a very Shukumar story. We're going to reference that story over here soon. Yoav's Rebbe was not properly trained. And he taught the Talmidim, Timcha, you shall eradicate as Zohar Amalek.
It's not wrong.
What?
It's not 100% wrong.
Shol made that mistake. Shol, he didn't kill the women and children. He did not kill the women and children. He did not kill Agak. He also didn't kill even the Zohar. And Yoav's Rebbe taught him wrong. He taught him, you shall eradicate the males. So Rav Kalman is saying that Shaul to a degree was affected by that, because Shaul also, he held back, he didn't kill the animals and the women. Is it the women also, it says there? I don't remember. He held back, and David said, why did you kill the women? He said to Yoav, says my Rebbe told me, Timcha es Zohar Amalek, Zohar Amalek, the males. Says that's not the Messiah. The Messiah is the remembrance, not Zohar. It's either Zecher or it's Zecher, but it's not Zohar. Could you imagine if you go to a shul and so, yeah, yeah. Oh, very good. They were big on, right, exactly, right. So it's amazing. We have a word over here. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You see from time, and when this happened, I don't remember, I should have prepared better, but the Gemara is, I think Yoav went back to his Rebbe, his kindergarten Rebbe, and basically wanted to kill him. That you are irresponsible. You, when you taught me in Cheder, you made a mistake. And that mistake that you made, a little nekuda, the difference between Zohar, which means a male, it's also, I guess it's Milara, if it's Zohar Amalek, and if it's Zecher, it's a Milara. There's a difference in the pronunciation. If it's Zohar, it's Zohar, it's Milara. The emphasis is on the Chof. If it's Zecher, a double segel, the emphasis also, when it's Zecher, it's Milara. There's a difference. It's interesting. There's not just a difference in the Nikud. There's a difference in the accent. Is it Milael or Milara? But in any event, this is the Farish of Gemara. He went, and I think maybe he did. I don't remember what the end was, if he killed his Rebbe. Because of that mistake that he made, he went and he misled to believe he only killed the males, not the females. Though it's interesting, we live in a world today where there's a lot of confusion today between males and females. You know what I mean? Okay? You know what I mean? We live in a crazy world over here, and the common denominator, these people who promote this type of thing, one thing you can say about them is they have no element of kedusha. I'm not talking about people, Rachmana Litzlan, who are sick. There are people out there, you have to be sensitive to people, Rachmana Litzlan, who suffer from, a defect in their hormones. Okay, there are people, Rachmana Litzlan, who are not, but we're not talking about those people. We're talking about people who are mamish lahachis. Activists in this matter who are here, and what a Chazal said. Chazal said, "Kol makom, any place where there is a separation of males and females, parsh of arayos, any place where there is a separation in arayos, there you will find kedusha. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kedosha ni Hashem lokechem." And then the whole parsha goes on to describe. It goes on to talk about arayos. Forbidden relations. And Chazal say this over and over again, that a fundamental element of sanctity is separation of Zohar and Nekeva. That means that when there is no separation of Zohar and Nekeva, there is an absence of Kedusha. Now, until this generation, what did that mean? It means there are males and females, and there's a mechitza in the middle. Okay, there's mixed dancing and there is separate dancing. There's mixed seating and there is separate seating. Okay, so you talk about today, the Havdalah today is not just to take down the mechitza, not just to have everything should be intermingled, but even in the person's own DNA, even the person's own essence, to completely distort the Hevdel ben Ish l'Isha. And what is that synonymous with? What is that part of? An active approach to be Oiker Kedusha in this world. So these people, again, we're not talking about, there are definitely people, it's been explained to me by a doctor, there are definitely people out there, Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem made them a certain way. Okay, we're not talking about those people. We're talking about Mishagoyim, mamish people that are healthy and normal, and they have these ideas that are absolutely bizarre, at the least. And when you really try to understand what's going on, it appears there's a whole approach to this. Is all the parallel side to this is all a war, an effort to be oiker kedusha in this world.
Kedusha and family.
Kedusha and family is kedusha, and it's a Mefarish Pasuk. It's a Mefarish Chazal. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kedosh ani Hashem lekechem kol makom she'atem motzei geder erva shom ata motzi kedusha. Any place where there's a gerda of erva, there you will find kedusha, and that means that when there is no geder erva, that means there is no kedusha. So again, until this generation. So what does it mean? It means, you know, there are people that engage in certain activities, okay? But we're living now in a tikkun. Now we're living where the attempt to be oiker the geder is in a much more sophisticated and central way. Okay, so, you know, it's very, 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 very disturbing. So here, so I just this just occurred to me is, you know, Timcha es Zecher Amalek. Yoav was taught by his Rebbe, not Zecher, not the remembrance. And there are two different ways you can pronounce remembrance. Either it's Zecher or Zecher. When Rabbi Cohen will come online later, he will tell me, don't say that. One of his pet peeves is there's only one pronunciation, Zecher, and not Zecher. He's very into this. But the Welt, the Olam, whatever the reason is, the Olam has a need to repeat. Has a need to repeat. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Chofetz Chaim says, Da. You shall know that there is no way to determine if it's Zecher or Zecher, and therefore the Minog Yisrael is to repeat at least the expression, Timcha as Zecher Amalek, Timcha as Zecher Amalek. It means
to. Is there any difference in meaning?
So we once tried to show that there is a difference. We're going to give a whole share on this to try to show that there really is a difference in meaning, not now, but. The Chofetz Chaim says, Da, there is no way, maybe that's the reason why we're so makbid to repeat it twice, because it's not just the same thing. There is a very subtle difference in the meaning of Zecher versus Zecher. Not for now, it's a whole topic in itself, but both of those words have in common, they mean the remembrance. Zohar, a double komatz, Zohar means the males. The male gender has nothing to do with the word remembrance. And Yoav's Rebbe taught him that the way you pronounce the word is Zohar. Eradicate only the males, not the females of Amalek. And Yoav did just that. He went to war against Amalek and he only killed the males, not the females. And when David later saw what he did, he said, "What did you do?" So he said, "I killed." It says in the pasuk, "Timcha es zochor." So that's wrong. That's not the tradition. Who told you this? My Rebbe. Yoav went to the home of his Rebbe to kill him. You went and you taught me in yeshiva. You taught me wrong.
I know the difference between zecher and zecher.
Yeah.
Because we say in Ashrei, zecher rav to chayabi.
Oh, that's a machlokes, by the way. That's
right.
No, it's machloikis there also. It's big machloikis there. Is it zecher or zecher? I have a friend, a big medaktik. He goes crazy about this.
Yeah. What is saying? Zecher means a little bit of rav tuvchan. A little bit. That's zecher. Zecher means hazikaron. That we are not the zikaron. It's a noun. It's not like a little bit of.
It's everything.
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 Not only a little bit.
Okay, it's a big topic, exactly, to show, to prove there's a very fine difference between the okay. It all depends on the context. But in any event, it's either Zecher or it's Zecher, but it's not Zohar. Now, in this generation, okay, I told you that the people that are trying to be Oiker Kedusha, they are trying to take away the difference between a Zohar and a Nekeva. They go hand in hand. a group of people who their entire purpose in this world is bent on this insanity that never existed, is to completely dissolve this barrier to such a degree where a child, a three-year-old kid, says, I'm not sure if I'm a male or a female, and right away the police come and take him away from his parents and let the child decide. That's what's going on in this country. Okay, that's what's going on in this country. A three-year-old kid who wakes up one day and says, you know, I think maybe I'm a girl. So right away you call the police, and the police will come snatch him away from his parents. What? Anyone who gets word, well, in school. The nursery, the nanny calls the police. They call the police. If the nanny, the little kid, the parents are working, and the kid says to the nanny that he's really a girl. So the nanny says to the parents, you know, the son is really a daughter. Says, you're nonsense. You're out of your mind. You're fired. And the nanny calls the police. You know that they're holding back their child from being what he really is. The police will come in child custody. They'll take the kid away and they'll do surgery and the government will pay for it. You think I'm joking? You think I'm joking? Michal, am I joking?
You are joking.
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. This was going on. It's rare, but
the age, it's mixing a few things together.
But okay. It's
already happened when they grew up. They said, "What did I do?"
In any event, this approach, when you hear things like this, where is it coming from? Why would a person want to do this? Why would people come up with such crazy ideas? The answer, the Torah says, "Kol makom she'atamotze geder erva sham ata motzi kedusha." When there is a separation between genders, this is what it says in the Chazal. This is Rashi and Chumash. When there is a separation of zohar and akeva, that is where you will find kedusha. This is a moral, divine concept. There are people, unfortunately, Amalek, Asher Korcha Baderech, Vayizanev Bechokol Hanech, Shlomach Raviato Yef Yogeh. What did Amalek do? Amalek, what would they do? They threw Vayizanev Bechokol, the Bris Mila. Amalek went and they dug up all of the Orlos and they threw it to heaven, and they were making Leitzonis of what is a Bris Orla, Bris Mila. The Rambam says the purpose of Bris Mila is a technique to diminish taiva. It's a way to diminish taiva, which basically is, and when you control taiva, that's kedusha. Amalek cannot deal with that. The Milchemes Amalek is exactly this. You see this today in the world, what's going on in the world. It all comes from, when you study Chazal, you gain the insight that this is coming from a war of Amalek to be oiker kedusha from this world.
Because it's part of the war on God.
Correct. God is kedusha. Ki kadosh oni. Hakadosh, exactly. Hakadosh baruch hu. It is a war on kedusha. Where does it come from? Okay, where does it come from, this thing? It comes from Amalek. Now, I'm not saying it was Amalek, Chas Shalom. There are very good people out there, and there are many people, unfortunately, that have been misled in this matter. But talk about the core.
We're talking about a minority.
Minority. Minority who makes a lot of noise.
If you want the secular explanation, it's because America is founded on faith, family, and patriotism. Well, they have to all three of those, right? So you attack the family structure, right? You attack religion, and you attack the idea that you know, to the love of country. And then you substitute that with what you want to substitute.
I mean, there've been congressional hearings where basically demanding from the Department of Justice why are you, is the most attention given to religious people are under attack in school board meetings. They're not concerned about terrorism. They're not concerned about crime. The only thing they're concerned about is if a religious person gets up in a school board meeting and protests values that are being taught in school. There's been an extreme devotion, resources of the government have been devoted beyond belief to go and track down and harass these people when there are much more important things going on in the country. There's obviously a problem here. Where is it coming from? You look in Chumash, the source of the problem is Amalek. There's an element of Amalek. Amalek is to like make leitzanis of Bris Milo, which is just a marshal of Kedusha.
A breakdown
of sanctity. So it just occurred to me that's what Amalek is. And in the one word, Timcha Zecher Amalek, which for generations the Klal Yisrael has been obsessed with to a degree where it's become sometimes almost a joke of Zecher, you know, Zecher is also Zochor, a male. And Yoav was indeed misled. And we have a hard time today. How do you say the word? How do you define Zochor? It's almost like this one word with all the different dots, is manifesting itself in a world that has become wild of what is the definition of Zochor. Zecher, Zochor, Zecher. Okay, this Mizmar alludes to that because we'll see Chazal actually going to quote that Maimon Chazal with Yoav, who made that mistake, who was taught by his Rebbe, the word Zochor. If a Baal Kriya gets up and says, Timche es Zochor Amalek, fired. Because that is really bad. That is a really bad mistake. Okay, that was a really big mistake, because that was the mistake that Yoav made, and he wanted to kill his Rebbe for that, because he taught him wrong. Now, with that hakdama, now really we're getting over here into something more complicated over here. This pasuk we mentioned, the second pasuk of this Mizmar, mentions three different nations. It mentions Aram Naharaim, Aram Tsoiva, and Edom. What in the world do these three nations have in common? Nothing. And yet, the word Behatzoisoi is, Behatzoisoi means David incited one upon the other. You know, like they say that in the era of Reagan, the United States wasn't really involved originally, and there was a war going on between Iran and Iraq. And then what was really happening then, everything was revealed many, many years later when all the secrets came out, that during the Iran-Iraq war, the United States was providing weapons to both Iran and Iraq. And it gave them a bracha. You should both be matzliach. You should kill each other out. You should kill each other out. To a small degree, that's what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. Okay, it's like they're killing each other. Rahman al-Islam, what's going on over there?
Ideally, we should let them.
It's true. We're not playing God here. We're not playing God over here. But the Russians, for the last, they have not been good to the Jewish people. The Russians and the Ukrainians, to the Klal Yisrael, they have not been good to the Jewish people. They've brought upon Klal Yisrael. Both of these nations, people who live in Russia? Russia today has 130 million people. A little bit less than half of the people in the United States. The modern day USSR. Ukraine has 43 million. Ukraine, there are 43 million people living in, who call themselves Ukrainians. There are 130 million people who call themselves Russians. United States, there are 320 million people who call themselves Americans. 43 million people is a lot. It's a lot. Big number. And certainly 120, 130 million is also a very big number. And they would increase their population and their source of revenue, the Russians, by 43 million people is a big deal for them. And that's part of the, obviously part of the reason why they're in this war. But But basically, both of these, everything, there's right encyclopedia on this. What's going on? But basically, they're killing each other, and there are some people that are actually rooting that they should tackle, go and kill each other, just like Iran and Iraq, the United States, the fact provided them weapons both, and the goal was they should kill each other because they're both not friends of the United States. That is happening here in this pasuk. David over here, Behatzoisai, okay, I don't know, though, we have to go see the whole, you have to go study the story in much, much more detail. There's some Nefarshim allude to it. You have to go to the Psukim, is that David, both of these nations are problematic to Klal Yisrael. So how do you deal with them? When you have two enemies, I have an enemy over here, an enemy over here, and they both want to kill me. So you know what you do? You go and you start a war between them. And when they'll kill each other, you'll solve all your problems. Aram Naharayim, they want to kill Klal Yisrael. Aram Tzoiva wants to kill Klal Yisrael. So you know what you do? Instead of fighting with Aram Naharayim and fighting with Aram Tzoiva, you go and you do something to cause Aram Naharayim and Aram Tzoiva to fight with each other and to kill each other. That way they're busy with themselves. They don't have time to start up with you. And hopefully they'll both win, and if they'll both win, they'll be off the map, and then you don't have any problems. David was a brilliant strategist. David, why should I go fight with Aram Naharayim and fight with Aram Tzoiva? Let me do something that they should fight with each other. And if they'll fight with each other, they'll kill each other, and we'll even help them. We'll provide each one with weapons, they'll kill each other, and then when the day is over, they're gone, and no one's going to bother us. That's what it says here in this pasuk. Behat soy soy, David incited these two nations to kill each other. Es Aram Naharayim, the Es Aram Tzoiva. He caused there to be a war between these two nations. And in that, and now, and now in part of that battle, Vayoshav Yoyach Vayach Es Edoim.
How are you translating the word
Bahat Soy? To incite. To provoke. It's better word, to provoke.
Provoke.
Provoke. What? To light up a fire, to provoke a war between the two. You go and you are. Okay, we're going to go there. Now, where does Edom get into the picture over here? Then Yoav came along, then they went, they were fighting with each other, and then at the end, Yoav came in for to finish, to clean up the mess. Whoever was left, Yoav came in, and here Yoav says, Yach es Edom. Edom? What are you talking about, Edom? So the Mefarshim learn, we have to go study this in much more detail, but the Edoim over here is that Aram Naharayim and Aram Tzoiva were partners with Edoim. They were, in other words, they had mercenaries from Edoim, or they were
what? Nearby.
Even though they were not nearby, they traveled, they formed alliances. So we're calling both of these nations, Aram Naharayim and Aram Tzoiva, this is like a meltdown. There's a meltdown, a globalization, just like Sancheiriv came, and he was Mebalbel Kol Humais. Sancheiriv came and he mixed up all the nations. There was at this point in time, this was way before Sancheiriv, way before, there was already alliances formed with different nations who were providing weapons. Like every day in the news, you hear this country is giving them, Ukraine is giving Ukraine fighter jets, and this one is giving them this, and this one is giving them money. They keep on asking, where'd all the money go? You gave them so much money. What happened? How come they have no ammunition? Where'd all the money go? We know all the money went. But Edom over here at the end reveals its ugly head, that they are really behind this war. In the beginning, it's just Aram Naharayim. And it's just Aram Tzoiva. And now they're killing each other. And then it's discovered who's really behind either one of them or both of them. The Chinese. They're the one that's funding this war, that's provoking the war. Oh! So then at the end of the day, David, who hates them both, he sends in Yoav to clean up the mess. And now it's Niskale. This is not a war between Russia and Ukraine. It's a war between the United States and China. And Russia is just a proxy for this China. And Ukraine is a proxy for the United States. Isn't that many commentators, meet the press, tell you? Just a proxy war. There's Russia and there's Ukraine. And Russia is represented by the Chinese. And Ukraine is the United States. That's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. Exactly what the Mefarshim on the page of the Radak says over here. You start off with Klal Yisrael's two enemies. And David over here says, let them fight each other. Let them, don't bother us. When you got your own problems, you don't have time to give me tzaras. So,
by the way, about Aram Sova.
Yeah.
The Syrian Jewish community around here comes from Aleppo.
Aleppo. The Aleppo
they
Codex.
Identify with Aram Sova.
And by the way, what there's
Aram Narayim, by the way, that's like the blue bloods of Wavell.
Right. It's a different part of the different
two rivers within that area.
That is also, it seems there's only one Aram. And Aram is a massive, massive piece of land. And there was this Aram Tsoiva, Aram Naharayim. I once read this. Now, I don't really understand that because Syria and Bavel are really two different, completely different regions. So why is it all called Aram? I don't know, but you can't deny the fact that they're both called, one is called Aram Naharayim, and one is Aram Tzaiva.
Like America, there's North America, South America.
Okay, so I guess in ancient times, there was a certain perception. Ancient times, they didn't have sophisticated maps like we have now. Like we talk about Bavel. Mitzofoin tiposach horo'ah. North, Bavel is not in the north. Bavel is in the east. So why do we call it the north? Mm-hmm. Because when you travel, there are many answers to this question, but when you travel, you can't travel due east. You can't go to Eretz Yisrael, take out a compass. Off a compass? Oh, Bavel is east, okay? We go east. It doesn't work like that. You go east, you go into desert land, you go into sandstorms, and you're finished. You're not going to survive more than a day. So how do you go there? Mm-hmm. Well, someone already figured out that the way you go to Bavel, you go up north and you go around. You go up north. So the way you travel to Bavel is you go north. So when Bavel is now coming to attack you, you don't say, oh, they're coming from the east. They're coming from the north because that's where the road is. That's the way you go. It's a matter of perception. Perception. So in ancient times, Aram, maybe there was some similarity in culture, there was some type of trade between the two. It was one massive area called Aram, and somehow it was divided between Aram Tsoiva and Aram Naharayim. Aram Naharayim is ancient, is Bavel. Today is probably somewhere along the tip, the edge, the eastern edge of Iraq.
Where the two rivers, the Euphrates and the
Euphrates. Two rivers. Aram Naharayim, Nahor, Yud Mem, double river, the Euphrates and the Tigris River. It's some section over there where they come together. So also those rivers over here, some of them, they claim that it's dried up from the ancient times and today it's not the same place. I don't know, I'm not familiar with this. But correct, there are two rivers. Aram Naharayim is Bavel, is where the homeland of Lavan. Okay, now where do we have Aram Naharayim in Tanakh? Lavan Huaram. Okay, this Gemara, by the way, is this what we're learning. You learn this in Eon. This is the classic response to the Satmar Rav's Shalosh Shavuos. Okay, Shalosh Shavuos. The Gemara Masechet Ksubis, I think it's Daf Peches, and talks about the Shalosh Shavuos. The Klal Yisrael Hishpati Eschem Benosi Yidishvaim. Classic. They're still fighting. People fighting about this is the sheet of the Satmar Rav and is his shita regarding Eretz, the state of Israel. Okay, you cannot ignore the fact of history of the Satmar Rav's intense opposition to the state of Israel with an incredible intensity. That has been magnified by his Hasidim, and his opinion, his thesis has been written up in a sefer published. I don't think he wrote it though.
No, I wasn't
Okay, alagula, alagula v'alatmura, and the yisoid is the chazal, the gemara mesach the ksubas da peches, which darshins the shalosh shavuos in shir hashirim. In the words of chazal, hishbati eschem benosi v'shaloyim im to'iru v'im to'oiru es ho'ahava ad she'techbats. Don't do anything. Don't arouse the love of Hashem to bring us back to our holy land, to the Eretz Yisrael, until Hashem does it on His own. The Geula has to come mamish min hashamayim. The Melech HaMashiach has to come out of heaven and literally pick you up and bring you to Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to build it. It's going to come out of heaven. It's going to be nisim v'niflois like we've never seen before. That will totally outshine the nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is all written up in Alagula v'Alatmura, and there's been literally encyclopedias written on this opinion, and the opposition, the response to the Samarov's opinion has been fierce, ferocious. The response to disagree and to challenge this thesis has been very, very strong. And go look at Eretz Yisrael today, a country today that's Baruch Hashem Kanaan are thriving, and even the Sabbe Hasidim, they run there every other day to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they have also already to some degree, not there's many Chas, there are many Sabbe Hasidim today that live very happily. I think in his own family, not he didn't have any children, Samuel, but his own family, there are some of his family that are high level officers in the Israeli army in the Tzahal, in the Tzahal. Correct, Mayor? Okay, he has his own members of Mishpacha are high level officers.
They rebelled.
Alright, so this is not gonna over here. This is old stuff. If you don't know about this, you're living under a rock like me.
He's very lucky. If he would have a son's name was Bechio, he would have the
Chilonim, alright. The Chilonim, okay, fine, okay. Okay. So one of the most powerful responses, the powerful challenges to the Satmar Rav's entire thesis is basically this Rashi. This Rashi that we're going to learn over here.
Which Rashi?
We're going to get to it. I'm going to get the Rashi and the Radak. This long Rashi over here in the Radak.
Seems like it's three versions.
All right. So the truth is, right here. Notice over here some housekeeping here. Okay, page 520. If you notice, there are three versions of Rashi. So I was right when I saw this. I was like, oh no. What are we going to do now? Three versions of Rashi. We're not going to do the two on the bottom. They don't really add anything more than the one on the top. The one on the top says it all. The differences are so minor. We're not going to dwell on that. Okay, we're just going to learn one Rashi. The main Rashi, the regular Girsas Hadefusin has it all, and the other Girsas, the nuances are not what we're going to discuss. Mm-hmm. But basically, the sort of here, just to give a little outside background, is we're mentioning over here Aram Naharayim. Aram Naharayim is the territory of Lavan Ho'arami. And there's a very big basic problem here, where Yaakov made with Lavan a treaty, a Gal Eid. And when they departed, you, Yaakov, you never go and cross this line. Don't start up with me, I will not start up with you. You do not wage war. We will separate completely, and there will be no machlekes between. We'll divide up the world. Lavan got the north, and Yaakov got the south. Okay, the south part of the world is like a line, Gal Eid, a mound, and they made a treaty after Yaakov left Lavan. I forgot the exact words, or Mayevsky maybe can help me with the exact words of the bris between Lavan. Im ani lo evor. Okay, so they made a treaty. There will be no fighting between the two. This pasuk is a whole story.
That's why the Yonos and Ben Uziel says that's what would by your pillow when he bumped into Vayishol Akromim. the onus of Ben Uziel says, why did Lavan bang into a wall? In an open field, what's the wall? He banged into the wall.
Oh, the Galeid.
Eda
Galaz.
So
this,
however, Aram
broke the treaty.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm calling this. This is a very important yisoid in this Rashi. Rashi brings out, and all the Mefarshim bring this out. You learn Tehillim, it's really brought out. It leaps off the page much more than I think anywhere else, than at least I know of. And it's important to know this, because if you want, in the debate between the Satmar Rav, Zuchusa Yogan Aleinu, okay, no joke, Satmar was a very holy person. My grandmother was blessed, got a bracha from him. Maybe I only exist because of him. I'm not joking. Okay, my grandmother went to get a bracha that my mother should get married, from a zivuk, and he gave my grandmother a bracha. Maybe I only exist, so I'm not going to go fight with the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav was a kodesh. He had a shita. I'm not telling you anything you don't know already. Everyone knows this. And this Agul of Yalat Temura, Hishpati Eschem Benoyis Yerushalayim, it's a yesoid. Mashiach is going to come out of the sky on a white donkey. He's going to blow the shofar. There's going to be nisim v'niflois like we've never seen before. The world has not embraced that shita. They have not really accepted. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael has not accepted. There are many, you know, Gedolei Yisrael, they have a lot of chidushim, and not every chidush they say is accepted. Rav Moshe Feinstein, not every psak halacha that Rav Moshe Feinstein said, do we accept? Was it accepted? Okay, the vast majority of the world did not accept this. He never backed down the Satmar Rav, and he held the Shita. And the number one reply, the number one reply to reject his thesis is this Rashi with the Radak and the whole 9 yards that go along with this. This pasuk says, David HaMelech, now this really also is rooted a lot also in Tehillim Shmuel Beis, Perek Ches, to get the whole story, which I thought we would do today, but obviously we're not going to get carried away over here with myself. But to go to the whole background to the story, let's at least read the Rashi today. The background to the story is what happened. But it says here that David HaMelech is making trouble for Aram Naharayim. He wants to get rid of them. They are troublemakers, and he wants to eliminate them. And David's very clever in having them fight with Aram Tzoiva. And at the end, David sends Yoav to kill him out, to kill them all, just to clean up the mess. Clean up the mess, map up the mess when it's all over. And we're calling them Edom, because they, at this point in time already, have aligned themselves with Edom, but they're still called Aram Naharayim. Question, when David sent Yoav to go to war, the generals or the leaders of Aram Naharayim says, what are you doing? Didn't our ancestors make a covenant that there'd be no fighting between us? What are you coming to kill us? Yaakov Avinu made a covenant, Eid HaGal HaZeh Ve'edah HaMatzeva, that you will not cross this line. So Yoav did not know what to say. Yoav was baffled. You're right. Let me go back to David. Let me ask him. Yoav, the general, the tsar tzivo lahagono liYisrael, he goes back to David, the melech. You know what they told me? The Bible. They opened up the Bible. Ein hagal hazev, ein hamatzeva. So David says, you know, they're right. We got a problem. So what does David do when David doesn't know? He calls in the Sanhedrin. He calls in the rabbis. You know, the ones that wear those long black coats? Okay? I wanted to get a gift to all the Rosh Yeshivas, by the way, because this is a good joke for Menachem Sperling. They used to have in yeshiva, all of the workers wore burgundy uniforms. No, they changed now. Now they are blue. I wanted to get for all of the Rosh Yeshivas the Chaim Blum burgundy kapotas. And have on the back the letters M-R-C. Get a nice burgundy kapota for all, right? Don't kill me for saying that. All right. All right. Yeah, it's a private joke here. Okay, so the question over here, so what? So David did not know the answer to the question. Can you imagine? David was baffled. They're right. They went to the Sanhedrin. And David says, you know, states, what are we going to do? So the Sanhedrin says, they already broke the oath. They broke the oath. They have the covenant of Yaakov and Lavan is no longer standing because they have broken, because Bilam, who is from Aram, Bilam and Balak, Bilam who is from Aram, he went to curse, they went and they tried to curse Klal Yisrael. And they gave an Eitzah with the Midyanim to be Mizani with Klal Yisrael. They have violated the covenant.
Right.
And therefore it's no longer standing, and therefore this is what the Sanhedrin said, you have absolutely no duty that doesn't exist anymore, that has been thoroughly cancelled. After the Holocaust, Hishpati Eschem Benos Yushvaim into Idovim into Oru, the Hishpati Eschem was a double covenant. You don't start up with them, and they don't start up with us. They don't even need the Holocaust. For 2,000 years, the nations of the world have violated their side of the deal. In the Hishpati Eschem B'Nos Yushvaim, it's not a one-way covenant. You have to go through the source. It's not a one-way covenant. They have, the Goyim, there's no question, have violated the deal. And therefore, we have no responsibility to them. And we can do whatever we want. We can take back our land by force and do whatever we want. There is no, the Shalosh Shavuos are no longer standing after the Umos HaOlam have violated their part of the deal.
What does the Satan Rav do with that?
There's no response.
No response. He was not surely presented with that.
I don't know. It's good to revisit the topic. It's good to revisit the topic. Now let's read the Rashi, get more of a flavor of this. Rashi over here says, now Rashi, the Rashi on the top covers basically everything that it says on the bottom plus more. Okay, the Rashi on the bottom, for some reason, there is a little thing here and there, but basically the Rashi on top says it all. First of all, Al Shushan Edus Michtam L'David L'Lamed. I mean, this introduction, Pasuk Beis, is over the top, has all of these words, it's almost impossible to translate. It's each one word at a time. Al Shushan, first he says, what does it mean Al Shushan? The Rashi Taka doesn't say what that means. Shushan means a musical instrument. That's, we'll learn like that at this moment. That David over here is instructing that you should use for this mizmah a special instrument called the Shushan. Edus. Edus is we're going to have to, well, let's wait one moment for that word. I'm going to wait one moment. We'll come back to the word Edus. Michtam, michtam. What is michtam? Michtam l'shon kesem pas. So this we already had before. It means pure gold. It means refined, the best gold. The best gold means, and this, what I'm going to tell you now, David says, I want to let you know, this is unbelievable. This mizmar is gold. Pay attention, learn it, study it. You will learn from this mizmar the secrets of the world. It's gold. Next, davar chamud, it is precious. V'rabasenu darshu. Now we have a drush. The word michtam is moch and tam. What does moch and tam mean? Al David shal yahamanig atzmai kimoch. The midos toivois of David HaMelech. He was not arrogant. When David did not know something, he went to ask. He did not know, and we're alluding here that David did not know what to do with the covenant that Yaakov Avinu made with Lavan. Al David shahaya manig atzma kimoch vitam. Afilu b'malchuso. Even though he was the melech, he was still complete with Hashem, and he was moch, he was meek, he was humble. V'agod acher is the third pshat for the word moch. V'agod acher shahaya makosay tamo. A maka means a wound. A wound means bris milah. Now the reason why we're mentioning over here that he was noilad mohol, a chiddush. You don't hear this often that David, where do you have a chazal? It's not a common chazal. You never hear, David was noilad mohol? Where do you hear that from? Moshe was noilad mohol. What?
God.
Bo Mazel Tov. He was born. You don't. This is an interesting chazal that David was noilad mohol. Now, why do we? Why would David have to make that announcement here? So the answer is because since we deal here with Edoim, and a lot of the Mizmor also alludes to Shushan, and as the Minchas Erev likes to elaborate that this whole Mizmor is a nevuah for the Purim story, and Haman. In fact, the Psukim at the end of this Mizmor are darshan very much. In all of the Purim Mamori Chazal, we draw from this Mizmor for the story of Purim. And Purim, the enemy of Purim was Haman, who Agogi, who was Amalek. And Amalek, it doesn't say very much about Amalek in the Torah other than Vayizanev b'chokol hanecheh shulim acharech, which Chazal darshin that Amalek took the Bris Milah and they threw it to Shemayim. Amalek was misnageh to Bris Milah and all that it represents. David is their nemesis, because David was noilad mohol. David was the spitz of Bris Milah, because he was noilad with the Bris Milah. Whereas Amalek, they made leitzonis of the whole the din of Bris Milah. So here it says that makos and moch means is makah. It's a new trick. Mem chof is a makah. David's makah, which means when you do a Bris Milah, you're making a makah. You're doing a surgical procedure. Makosoy tamo was complete. It's an expression which means that he had a Bris Milah shenil and mohol. Fine. So we learned over here three perushim for the word michtam. Either it means that this is precious, a precious mizmar, or it means that David was humble that he, when he did not know something, he asked. Mochtam. He was meek and he was complete in his emun and yirah shamayim. And the third interpretation was that makosoy tamo, he was born with a bris milah. Now let's go back to the word edus. Michtam. Mikol melam da hiskalti. Correct. He asked questions. Michtam le David al eduson shel Sanhedrin shenimshu lishoshanot. Now we come to the word edus. What's edus? So now we're going backwards. I told you that the word shushan means a musical instrument. Rashi says the word shushan alludes to the Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin is called. They're called a. From the word, let's see, shenimshu l'shoshana, the Sanhedrin is compared to a rose. Shenemar, shorereich agan hasar, your navel, okay, your belly button, your navel is like a agan hasar, like the sar means the moon, and agan, what does agan mean? I don't even know what agan means. Agan, the radiance.
A round
basin. They sat in a semi-circle. The Sanhedrin sat in a circle like a basin. A basin, a saris, agan means, agan means round?
Agan ba'aganot, Moshe sam the dam ba'aganot.
Okay, it means, let's assume now for the sake of simplicity, it means they. It's a round utensil and alludes to the way they sat, and then it says sugah. It is surrounded like a circle, ba shoishanim, with roses. This pasuk is describing, according to one of the Mamori Chazal, the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin at the end of this pasuk that describes it is called shoishanim. The Sanhedrin Hagodol, the Lishkas Hagozis, they are protected, they are surrounded by roses. Oh, so now that I saw the word Shushan, Shushan means the Sanhedrin, then when it says the word Edus, it means the testimony, which means the court decision. The court has issued a unanimous decision, the Edus, the testimony of the court regarding a halachic dilemma. What is the halachic dilemma presented to the Supreme Court of the Jewish people? Are we allowed to go to war against Aram Naharayim? Is the covenant that Yaakov made with Lavan still in effect? That's the dilemma. Kishenitzach sheyilamiduhu ma yaseh, when they needed to know what should we do, When did this ever happen? When did David need to go ask the Sanhedrin a question? Here's the story. Kishenilcham im Aram Naharayim, when David was fighting a war against Aram Naharayim, the Sholach es Yoyov, he sent his general Yoyov Aleim, Amru Lo.
One second, what does that have to do with the word Michtam?
I'm sorry?
What does this have to do with
nothing. Michtam means moch, let's say it means mochtam. He was meek and complete in his Yerushman to consult with the Shushan and listen to their Eidus.
So now we're talking about the Shushan.
Right, so we'll put it, we'll read the words out of order. Michtam, mm-hmm. David was humble and meek. He had a difficulty that he did not know the answer to. So what did he do? He went to the Shushan. He went to the Sanhedrin that are called Shushan. The code word for the Sanhedrin is the Shushan. And they provided Eidus. They provided testimony, which in this context means they gave him a decision as what to do in this situation. Now, what is the dilemma? What was the problem? So Rashi tells us the story. The Rashi tells the story was as follows. David kishenitzrach sheyelameduhu ma yase, what to do? Kishenilcham im aram naharayim, v'sholach es yoyev alayim, he sent his general to kill them. Amru lo. So the people of Aram said to Yoyev, what are you fighting with us? Loi mi bonov shel Yaakov atem? Are you not a descendant of Yaakov? Heichon hi hashavua? What about the oath? Hishbati eschem b'nosi l'sholayim. What about the shavua? Shenishbal l'lovon al hagal. Ad hagal hazeh. Don't you dare cross over this boundary. V'lo hoyo yodea mal l'hoshav. Yoyov didn't know. Wow, you got me. You really got me. So what did he do? Bo loy etzel David. Amal David. Koch amru libnei Aram. David said, I don't know what the answer is either. Bohu vishalu es Sanhedrin. David went to the Shushan. He went to the Shushan. He went to the roses. He went to the Sanhedrin. Amru lahem. The Bezdin said as follows. Psak halacha. The Psak halacha. The Bezdin tzedek. Shel. The Beis Hamigdash. The loy heim avru techila es hashvua. You tell me that you're now by fighting you're going to be in violation. Guess what? There's no shvua anymore. They already have violated the shvua. Shenemar Bilam min Aram from Aram yanicheni Balak Melech Moav. Moav was from Aram. Aram is a big place. Big, big, massive territory, which includes a Midian. It includes, I'm sorry, Moav, includes Moav. Moav is a chelek of Aram. It's a chelek, remember, that Lavan had two daughters, and they had Amon and Moav, and Lavan, that was his territory. Moav is a descendant of Lavan. It's all part of the big territory of Aram. And so it says here that Melech Balak, the king of Moab, who is part of Aram, they crossed the line. They went and they hired Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and when the curse didn't work, they caused Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Arayos. Again, Arayos comes into play here. Bris Mila keeps on coming into play over here. Arayos, and 24,000 people died because of this in Klal Yisrael. And there was a lot of other damage, collateral damage as well.
By the way, the pasuk that illustrates what you said, that Aram, Moab is part of Aram, you have it when Bilam says, Min Aram,
right, it says, it's what Rashi just says. Right. Rashi calls it, Min Aram, Yancheni, Bolak, Melech Moav. The Oid, another example in Shusha, another example is Kushan, Rish, or Simon, Sefer, Shoftim, Aram, Mihoya. Another war, we have another war with this fellow, Kushan Rish Osayim, in the beginning of Shoftim, also waged war against Klal Yisrael. He's also, that wasn't part of the Polish, there's another troublemaker, another part of the Chevro, always troublemakers, wherever you turn.
They killed David's family also.
That was later, right? That was not at this point yet. I think that was probably before. So Sanhedrin gave a psak halacha that the shavua is no longer in effect because they are in violation. Now the pasuk continues, vayoshav. Why does it say the word vayoshav? To return. Why did you leave that you now need to return?
Yeah, you left because you had they stumped you with a good question. So you left, and now you came back. You got a psak halacha. Vayoshav yoyo vayach es edoim. Edoim, fact Rashi, edoim. Since when? I thought we were dealing over here with Aram Naharayim. Where does Edom come into the picture over Edom? So he says, yeah, Edom is kimoy Aram, kimoy shnema b'ritzin melech Aram vayinashel es hayehudim me elois vaadoimim bo'u elas. So what it means over here is that you see there was some coalition. Coalition where Edom joined, they joined forces. Okay, it's like it's in the current events. You know, it's very dangerous now that all of a sudden Saudi Arabia is reconciling with Iran. That's no good for us. Okay, that's no good. Until now, there was a wedge between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia wasn't so happy with Iran. They felt themselves threatened. Now all of a sudden, China comes along. Let's make peace. They're very clever, the Chinese. Let's make peace between Saudi Arabia and we'll be the peace broker and Iran. Oh, that's going to really like a stabbing in the back of the United States. Okay, and that for Klal Yisrael is a horrible thing. So you see there in another battle, you see that the Adoimim, they're always looking for trouble. It's by the way, this is the Malchus of Edom. Edom is a nothing by themselves. Edom always likes to latch on to trouble. Like Dosan Va'aviram, always looking for trouble. Right. They're always there. They look around, they say, oh, there's trouble. Oh, let's join, let's add fuel to the fire. And Rashi concludes here, that's exactly what happened over here. They took advantage of this opportunity. Al she'ozrin ze eze nikra Aram Edom. So here the primary battle was between Aram Naharaim. And when Edom saw that Aram Naharaim is attacking Klal Yisrael, Edom joined with Aram Naharaim to make trouble for Klal Yisrael. So when Yoav had to come and clean up the mess here, he had to take out Edom as well. And how many people did he kill? It says he killed Shneim Osor Elef, 12,000 people. Big, big problem. Because in Shmuel, it says he killed 18,000. And in Divrei Hayam, it says he killed 6,000. Are we talking about the same battle? It says here, in this pasuk over here in Tehillim, we have three versions of the same story. It says, Shneim Osor Elef. Other place it says 6,000. Another place it says he killed 18,000. So what's the answer? So this is this the whole Radakiv is about this, which we're not going to go into. It's not, but he says Rashi answered in one shot. Shemoyna Osir Elef Hakisivim B'Melachim. I'm sorry, everyone's Melachim. I don't know why he calls it Melachim. He calls it B'Melachim. It's interesting. He calls it over in Rashi. He calls it Melachim when it's really Sefer Shmuel. It's a different Sefer, but he calls it B'Melachim. Over Divrei Hayamim, it says also there's another problem. Who was the general? Was it Yoav? David had another general who was Avishai. They were together. Who killed Edom? Was it Avishai who was leading this battle, or was it Yoav that was leading this battle? So we have two contradictions. So the Gemara, so Rashi learns, Azoy. Rashi learns, it says over the Harag Avishai, Pam Rishonah, Shei. So Rashi answers the question by saying as follows. Harag Avishai, there were multiple battles. There was a war, and a war has multiple battles. So first, Harag Avishai, Pam Rishonah, Shei, Shesalofim. The Yoav, he went into the second battle, and he killed Shneim Osir Elef, Kishashav Me'akois Esaram, and then in Divrei Hayam, where it says 18,000, or one of the, it's the combination of 6 and 12. Okay, so it seems there were two major battles. One battle was led by Avishai, one was led by Yoav. Avishai killed 6, Yoav killed 12, and when we recorded in history, they lost 18,000, 12 plus 6. Behatzoisam kemo behatzoisam al Hashem, shenilcham bohem ad she'ozru levnei Amoin. In that passage, they fought until they helped Bnei Amoin. I'm not sure what he means by that over there, but the way most of Farshim over here is that this over here, that part of David's technique was, why should I have to go lose men and fight with this nation? Much better way to go and fight is a proxy war. I'll just go, the way I'll get rid of my enemy is by supporting another one of their enemies, they'll kill each other. Okay?
Like Ukraine, exactly.
They're getting all the United States, they read the news, they're getting all this training by basically They're doing the war. It's a proxy war. It's Pashut. It's a proxy war. The United States, that Ukraine is just the arm of the United States. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So why should we go? Why should David go fight? I'll go. I will incite Aram Tzoiva. They'll fight each other. Okay. So this is. So here you learn over here. Now what we learned over here in Rashi is brought out by other Mefarshim, the Radak, is this concept. This whole story is Taka. There's a Shavua. There is a Shavua, and the Shavua does not allow us to fight with, and Yoav and David took this Shavua very seriously. And David is given high praise. He's called Michtam Moch Vitam. He was meek and complete, and he consulted with the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin gave a psak halacha. There is no Shavua any longer in effect, because they are in violation. And it is exactly, this is the primary argument that you will see to the words of the Kodosh. Don't get me wrong, he has a very strong opinion about Eretz Yisrael, and it's primarily based upon the side of the Shalosh Shavuos in Masechta Ksubos of Peches. And Hishpati Eschem Benos Yerushalayim Im Toiru V'im Toiris Ohav Atshe Techbats. Do not arouse the love of Hashem to bring the Geula, to bring the Geula, and to return to Eretz Yisrael and to retake the land and to put in motion the process of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Don't do that. Hashem will do it. And the response to that is this Rashi. The Shavua goes two ways. The Shavua goes two ways. We won't start up with you, and you don't start up with us. The Goyim have, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have violated their part of the deal, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I always made a point of telling them when I worked at Ali, I said, it said, Kates Bovel, Zeru Bovel. That was long before Vinyan by Yesheni. So you say Kates Bovel, but you think Zeru Bovel was a great man. So why, before Hashem told Ezra to build, he went ahead and did it, and we sing about him that he was a big tzaddik. Why? He had no nevuah. I mean, what was he? Was in a navi? I mean, whatever it is. How come? It was 20 years before the building. They also made a wrong calculation, but they lionized him by saying, Case Bavel, Zeru Bavel.
Okay.
Case Shivim. He made a judgment, and it was time to go build the second base of England.
Absolutely. Okay, to be continued. To be continued, Monday. We'll take a very short break and we'll learn some Chumash. A little Chumash, it's pretty late. We gotta